This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Freddy Krueger's smoking armpit, this is Cognitive Dissonance.
It's a little warm in here.
It's a little fucking hot. A little warm.
Admittedly.
Are you kidding me? The surface of the sun is a little toasty. My sweat has begun sweating.
Like mercury in this motherfucker.
Like mercury would quit. It would turn to a gas. This is ridiculous. This is absurd.
Also, the two of us also have about 50 extra pounds on each of us.
Okay.
That we're
all right.
Insulating.
That's my winter 50. Yeah,
you got to grow
it. I'm going to shed that when I decompose.
For every single degree below zero, I grow a pound.
Wind chill counts so hard.
When it's I'm like at McDonald's just shoving fries in my face on those coldest days.
I'm one of those like four season sleeping bags just walking around.
Constantly people cutting you open to climb in.
This is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes it big.
Something like that.
Makes the news or makes us mad. My brain was just like, we are done. Bloop. It just turned up. What is that? This is episode 459.
Hi, a quick editor's note. It's actually episode 460. Sorry.
Of Cognitive Dissonance.
I'm pretty excited, Tom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it looks like our next mayor here, there's going to be a runoff election.
Yep.
Next mayor is going to be a black woman, regardless. And maybe a black gay woman.
Okay, but in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But will she still be corrupt? Because, like, if we lose that,
one of them can. One of them is. So, yes, there is a possibility. At least I know for sure the Preckwinkle lady is really machined up.
Well, I saw something in the news the other day. It said Chicago is the most corrupt city in America. Mm-hmm. And they did it on a kind of per capita basis.
Yeah.
But it was comforting. Illinois was only the third most corrupt state.
So
there are some spots.
That's because our most corrupt people were already put in prison.
Yeah, I know, right?
They've already gone out of the way to put those people away.
I was like kind of curious how that would work. Right. Like, it's just
does that count against our record? Are those like the Mark McGuire years?
No. I feel like I put him in jail. I fixed it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I fucking Pete Rose'd that.
Yeah.
Seen that guy got kicked out of baseball
He was. Gambling.
Thank you. Yeah. I also knew that. Yeah. I knew he was in trouble.
Yeah, gambling.
And he got kicked out, right? He wasn't allowed to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though he was very good
at the sport. I just made a baseball reference too when I said Mark McGuire, who you probably don't know.
No. So. Is he on the...
He was a guy who hit a bunch of home runs, but he did on steroids. And so there's like an asterisk next to his years that he broke the home run record.
I think they should all be encouraged to take steroids. Not just allowed. I think they should be encouraged.
Like every team meal is just steroids.
100% steroids. Steroids.
It's got a big fucking Frankenstein face. They all look like Lou Ferrigno. That'd be the best. The shortstop just tries to reach and he explodes. Just, poof. He just turns into muscle and sinew. He's like a party popper of sinew. Just poof, and he's just gone.
I think our professional athletes, I think we should just see what the body can do if we just feed it nothing but human growth hormone.
I think,
how big can we get?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hard agree.
Yeah.
I think not only that, Tom, I think we should start doing some experiments with cybernetics.
I agree.
So we should do it like
robot parts.
So there's three leagues.
Yeah.
There's the juice clean league, right? Where there's no, then there's the juicer league. And then there's the anything goes league where you could just like you could turn one of those, like you could basically have like a bulldozer with a human brain. That's the league I would watch.
If you could
anything goes league, that's it. That's where it's at.
I 100% would watch that. Like I don't watch any sports, But I think I would watch the Juice League because I just want to see fun. Like,
yeah, like how gross people can be. Yeah.
What are you going to be? Like, is you just going to be like Jolly Green Giant? Like, walk like does not. I would watch all the sports.
Yes.
All of them. Yes. I would give up my existing job to stay home and watch Juice sports.
I would start every podcast that I ever did from that point on would only be a sports podcast. Yes.
But the one you're suggesting?
Oh, the Anything Goes League, where suddenly we get to experiment on human beings?
Be human battle bots.
Oh my God.
We'd be human. I mean, the wedge wins or that spinning the thing. Spinning. But, yeah.
The one that comes up and just whacks you.
It just smacks it like whack. Did you watch BattleBots?
I didn't. I've watched a bunch of highlight stuff, but I never watched like the.
Holy shit. Is that like. That is the most boring fucking show. It's like,
is it?
Yeah, well, like the highlights are amazing.
Well, I watched the highlights. I guess that's what I only
That's why it's great. The highlights are amazing. The rest of the time, it's just like people talking about like, I'm going to build a wedge. And the other guy's like, wedge is a stupid. I'm going to build the spinning bot. And like everybody else like, well, that's pretty much the only two bots. And then like that really, really quickly becomes that. But then like, it's like 20 minutes of people driving a remote control car around.
Trying to
maneuver it all weird. Yeah. And then. Like kind of nothing happens. And then the arena like just randomly does what's supposed to be cool shit, but just like in out, knocked it on its side. You're like, oh, I got a fucking remote controlled turtle now. Thanks. Like, it's like, but when it goes well, when you see those highlights, then you're like, oh, this is the pinnacle of all human achievement.
You know how they should fix that show is they should well, if you take BattleBots and you take Junkyard Wars and you turn it into where you go into the junkyard and you build a battle bot to have to fight the other people.
Yes.
Cause I'm sure that Junkyard Wars shows was staged, but it doesn't matter. Cause it's like, it's still fun to watch.
I love so that show.
The guy's like taking off a tire. He's like, oh, there's an entire air compressor in here. Who knew? But still, I love that show
Douglas
too.
McDonnell Douglas jet engine. Like,
I love that show too, though.
It was so great.
I love that show.
And they could make it even more interesting by taking an orphan kid and you put it inside. And that's who,
anything goes league.
Anything goes league. But like, it could be like, like those physics games where it's like, oh, if you crack the egg, you lose.
Like, you just do it with an orphan. Well, the best part is you probably got one for free because they gave away 12 of them in a little thing. So you get the one for it's an extra one.
Well, we're not going to adopt them out to gay couples. Yeah. What are you crazy? Yeah.
And the priests, they're full up. Actually, they're full up of priests. But you know what I mean.
I'm just saying, patrons. Enough money, we will start our own TV channel. And it will fuck that shit up.
You want that shit so bad. We're paying people to get fucking like surgery to remove their arm and put a new arm on.
Okay, you would look really good with those jumpy gazelle legs that the amputees have.
Those things are amazing.
And arm cannons. Just
the guy around, he looks like the guy off a fucking Family Guy with the four peg legs for his arms and his legs.
He's got one of those like tennis guns.
I would
watch the shit out of this show
all day. Oh, man.
Oh, God. The future's so bright. I got to wear shades, buddy.
You know, the one thing we never talk about, really, is it's one of the few gels and products that cures or gets rid of all venereal diseases.
Yeah.
This is like a...
it's a miracle in a tube.
Yeah, it is a miracle in a tube.
All right, this story's from Right Wing Watch. This is crazy. I love this. This Valentine's Day, Lance Wallnew wants to help banish those demons for your sweetheart. 40% off.
It's 40% off.
40% off.
He's got this thing here. It's for his he's selling Breaking Controlling Spirits. It's a 3D set. Its regular price is $29.97, but special Valentine's Day price. And I know this is a couple of weeks after, a week or so after Valentine's Day, but the special Valentine's Day price, so guys, you're not gonna be able to get it. That's why I'm telling you it's after $17.97. And I want to read a little bit of this.
Wait, can I comment on something real quick before that? This is a 3 CD set. What do you do with that at this point?
CD?
What do you like? They're like, oh, honey, I got you some CDs. What? What, so you can use them as coasters?
Yeah, do I have to get a CD player too?
What would you do? Like, if somebody gave me a CD, I'd be like, cool. I have to throw this away now.
I don't know what to do with it.
I
will play Frisbee with it.
A CD?
Yeah.
What the fuck? a 3-CD set. I get one of those like big, giant, fucking open-y things. Like, bro, you know what I mean? Think about the packaging.
Do you remember back in the day we used to carry CDs in your car and you'd have a little flip book of CDs? That's the same thing. You buy a flip book.
I gotta get my CDs from under my seat.
I gotta get all these CDs.
Oh, I got a 6-CD changer in the trunk. It's super sweet.
6-CD changer. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh. So I want to talk about
CDs.
I want to talk about this. This is what he did. There's a war. This is a quote, pardon me, from his, this is explaining his special Valentine's Day gift of breaking controlling spirits. There is a war being fought in the unseen realm between the forces of good and evil. And the battlefield is your mind. And if it's Valentine's Day, the battlefield is also your crotch.
So, I'm gonna pound so the crabs that shit are flat. Fighting?
That's what I'm going to do. We're gonna scorch earth. That's what we're going to do. Battlefield, baby.
If the battlefield is your mind, Lance's fucking battlefield is wide open.
It's shooting blanks, baby.
Oh, my God.
The battlefield isn't dangerous at all. It's like a laser tag.
Crickets everywhere.
It says demonic activity is increasing at an alarming rate as we draw closer to the last days.
Really, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. How would we know that? I always wonder about that. You know, it's like there's a lot more the fucking demonic activity. How much was there yesterday? How many units of demonic activity? What is the measurement? Is there a murder of demonic activity?
I'll say this, though. If it's on Valentine's Day, if your demonic activity lasts more than 4 hours, contact a doctor. You got to talk to
a doctor. If your demonic activity lasts more than 4 hours, you're a hero.
Yeah.
That's Jesus.
Your people are high-fiving you, man.
More than 4 hours? Oh. I'd be like, stop the fucking camera. No, I keep it on.
And this is the last piece of this. He says, you will not be able to ignore it and hope to avoid the consequences. Spiritual warfare is not optional. What must you do to prepare and guarantee victory over the enemy? Enema. What must you do to prepare for anal? Well, you can get yourself some lube from adamandeve.com. That's how you can prepare for it. All I have to do is go to adamandeve.com. Now, back on is the sex swing.
It is.
So you could, you know, I guess
you can back up on that sex swing.
You get two swings and you could play catch with Lance Wallenew's CDs even if you wanted to. And all you have to do is type in Gloria Checo.
I got
50% off almost any item, a free sex swing and free shipping.
I love the idea that like spiritual warfare is not, there's no conscientious objectors to spiritual warfare. Like even like the Amish are like, fuck, I gotta go. I got drafted.
When we're talking about spiritual warfare, are we talking about fighting against spirits or fighting with spirit, like a spirit gun or something, like spiritual warfare. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I know that if you're drafted and you become the cook, then it's spirit cooking. And that's different.
Oh, that is different.
That's
get
totally
spirit
different.
PT. We right? have to peel a bunch of spirits.
There's like some spirit drill sergeant like, listen up, you spirit maggots. And you're just like, that hurts my spirit feelings. I don't know why I got to talk.
They put a bunch of spirits in a bag and beat you with it.
Soap? Yeah.
That's demonic, everybody. It is absolutely demonic.
So story comes from Right Wing Watches. Chris McDonald, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Theology is of Satan. This is amazing.
This is this guy. This guy is really, I mean, he's starting to become
one of these
popular guys. And he's pretty awesome.
God does not like evil tyranny destroying people and destroying a nation.
Oh, he's all worked up.
He is.
Chris McDonald is all worked up right now. He's clipping his audio.
He's so angry, he's peeking.
Yeah.
It is God's fight, folks. This is not our fight. This is his fight.
Okay, then I don't need to do anything about it.
Hey, why are we doing anything?
I actually feel great. This is like when I get on an airplane and I feel a sense of relief because it's like, I don't know. I can't crash this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
it's out of my hands.
I have no responsibility here. If that thing goes down, I'm not even buckling my seatbelt. I give a shit.
He wants America free. He doesn't want it under the bonds of socialism and communism. He wants men to be free to worship God.
Jeez. God. I want you to be free to do exactly as I told you. Look, or I will burn you forever in a lake of torturous fire.
That's exactly it, right? Yeah, I will kill you forever and ever and ever and hurt you forever and ever and ever. That's exactly it.
Listen, I'm not here to tell you what to do. All right? And take away your freedom.
I'm not going to micromanage your life.
Incidentally, as an aside, if you don't do exactly what I tell you to do, and I wrote down a list of rules.
Yeah.
If you don't follow the rules, I will fucking hurt you and everyone you've ever loved generation after generation until the possibility of experiencing more pain extends into the infinite. Yeah. But anyway, do what you
feel
like.
Feel free.
You know, free. Yeah. Hey, if you want to order the veal, order the veal.
And here's what I'm going to do is you go ahead and watch real quick. Bill missed bullet point three, throw him in like fire. Okay, no, what were you saying again? Right. What were you saying? Oh yeah, Tony missed bullet point six. Yeah, he ate shellfish once. Throw him in there like fire.
Isn't that like holding a knife to your boss's throat and being like, do I get a promotion? Huh? You don't have to give it to me. You tell me I earned it. You tell me I earned it.
What? That's how I have sex every night. My hand is tired of that. So, yeah.
Every night.
He wants them to be free, that they can worship the creator, the one that made them. He wants them to be free to be able to worship freely and to give him the due diligence and the due credit for freedom.
due diligence?
Tell me how much you like that freedom I gave you.
It sounds so crazy.
It really does. It sounds like he's going to slap our ass and be like, you like that freedom, don't you? Don't you like it? You like it.
You say my name when you do what you want.
There is no safe word. You'll never be safe from me.
Jesus is going to choke me a little.
Jesus is choking you with his little hand. You can see your neck through his hand.
You can get one of the, what you get a tracheotomy right through it.
You can still breathe through it.
God is a God of freedom. He is not a God of communistic and socialism ideology.
Yeah, absolutely true. Jesus upcharged all those people for those bread and loaves.
Right, yeah.
He was like, no, you got to pay that guy in the back. He'll collect your 30 pieces of silver. Judas, go around, collect that stuff.
When Jesus like knocked over all those tables, those like money changer tables, he was all like,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's confusing. This is going to get weird in about 2,000 years.
There's a, I don't know if it's a joke or a meme or whatever, but I was talking about like, it goes something like this. The current conservative Christians would not recognize Jesus because he's a black man who loves socialism. You know? Like they would not recognize him for the Jesus that they love capitalist Jesus. Yeah. They love everybody got pulled up by their own bootstraps and made a shit ton of money. That's what they love. They love that Jesus.
What they love is a Jesus of manifest destiny. That's what they love. They want like Lewis and Clark, the Jesus.
Manifest destiny.
That's what they want though. That's really what they feel like. Cause like, you know, Jesus would have showed up and like punched an Indian and like taken his corn and sold it back to him for a bead or something.
We need to make a shirt that says there are no coincidences, manifest destiny.
Make no mistake about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me say it again.
Okay, say it again.
God is not the God of communism. He's not the God of socialism.
He is not. No, that's true. Because Lazarus went into medical bankruptcy after being brought back from the dead. So that's very true.
No, he was fine. He had amazing insurance. Yeah. He was amazing.
Yeah, he was like a...
He had like double supplemental fucking... Yeah. That quacking duck insurance.
He's walking around with a duck. Affleck. On his arm.
He's not the God of anything. And let me tell you.
Wait, what? Mm. He's not the God of anything? You said it, buddy.
Yeah. Well,
let's do this again. I want to hear this again.
God is not the God of communism. God is not the God of socialism. He's not the God of anything. And let me tell you, all of that.
Yeah, that was just a sentence he said.
He just said, God is not the God of anything. Finally, we agree.
God's just like, well, did I just lose my job? Did Chris McDonald just fire me? I am not the God of anything. I created all this shit for you, Chris.
Oh, jeez.
You're a dick.
Man, here I was. I gave it to you all, socialism style.
God's like looking down at like China. He's like, well, I'm not your God, Chris McDonald.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even sweating that.
He's putting himself up for like on Craigslist. He's like looking for work.
That is of the devil. Can I just go on record and telling you, when you hear Bernie Sanders and these other politicians out there espousing how great these things are, folks, I'm not trying to disparage them personally, but that theology, that ideology, it's of Satan.
I'm not trying to say they're bad people. No. I'm just saying that their thoughts are demonic.
I'm just saying they're in league with the most evil thing ever created. Created by God, by the way. But anyway,
no,
the most evil thing ever created.
It's his foil. Like, it's got to have dark if you're going to have light. What other stupid fucking Instagram memes can we say out loud? Like, if you don't want me at my best, you can't handle me at my worst, God. Or like whatever fucking nonsense garbage idiots spout out.
I regret having that as a tramp stamp. God.
That's Satan's theology. If you want to write my name down and say, well, Chris said out is socialism and Bernie Sanders is of the devil, write it down all you want to. I don't care. Bernie's theology is of the devil.
And nobody would even notice who you were.
He's so that lady off with Waterboy. Foosball is the devil. Like, he's so that lady.
He is.
God, it's so awful and ridiculous. Jesus, this guy, unreal.
Ocasio Cortez's theology is of Satan.
Wait a minute. Does he have a mustache?
No, I think he has chocolate on his mouth.
No, I think he has a flesh-colored mustache. Go back 2 or 3 seconds. When he closes his mouth and leans in, you can see a weird...
Oh,
see
you're it? Right!
He's got a weird... You guys, here's the thing. We've been watching this guy for I don't know how long, and we've been watching this video now for a couple of minutes. He has a beard and mustache that so perfectly mimics his skin his color
skin. It's
that
like
you
chameleon.
Can't see it until he leans
it's like
in.
It's like he hired a gecko to sit on his face.
It's like he just got like fucking texturized with his own hair.
It's like someone has him on a computer generator and they're rolling up the texture. They're like, they're increasing the graphics as we sit. You're right. You picked that out. I totally missed it. I thought he had some. The thing is like the way it casts a shadow, it looks like he just got done messily eating a Hershey bar.
It does.
But now I can tell that's the shadow of his flesh colored.
It's almost clear.
Nightmare.
It's almost like monofilament. Like it's almost like a mustache made out of fucking fishing line.
Ocasio Cortez's theology is of Satan. God is not wanting America to be a nation that slips all into this socialist abyss.
Now we know this because in the Bible, where they didn't know America existed yet.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah. I love that. Like the Bible is written at a time when we had not like invented this hemisphere. Like
it's like when you're playing Civ and there's the cloud.
Yeah.
There's a cloud and you just don't know what's past that cloud. So like the map fog is on.
Yeah. That's and, not yeah, even wrong. Yeah.
And so who knows what's over there? Yeah. Could be a continent, could be a giant sea monster. Yeah.
That's not even wrong.
Yeah.
Like for over 1400 years, people were like, yeah, I don't know what's over there.
I don't know what's happening over there.
Like this is written at a time, but like somehow God has this clearly defined vision that you know about. You get one book according to you.
Yeah, right.
You get one book he wrote.
Yeah.
And he doesn't mention this whole half of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, I know what he meant though.
He definitely
about it.
He alluded to it.
Yeah.
So, but he didn't actually say it out loud.
But he's called us as the believer, the children of God, the remnant, to stand in the gap against this. This is a spiritual war, folks. That is a spirit. Let me tell you, all of these things that you hear about, when you hear sociology, it's more than an ideology.
When you hear sociology, it's more than an ideology?
Sometimes it's a class you can take.
At Liberty University. Did he say sociology, though?
Yeah.
Is he against sociology?
Yeah.
Or do you think that
he doesn't
just
know
mixed,
the difference between sociology and socialism?
Or do you think that he just mixed socialism and theology.
Oh,
do you think he misspoke? I don't know. Let's listen to it one more time because he says sociology out of nowhere. He's bashing on it.
But he's called us as the believer, the children of God, the remnant, to stand in the gap against this. This is a spiritual war, folks. That is a spirit. Let me tell you, all of these things that you hear about, when you hear sociology, it's more than an ideology. It's a
I think he means socialism, maybe.
I think so. Maybe. Is that being generous? I think he means sociology.
Here's the thing. It does not matter because he doesn't know what socialism is.
Yeah, it's just as much as
nor
this.
Is he any better versed on sociology.
Just as much.
Right.
Yeah.
The communist thing, it's a spirit, it's a principality that takes up residence over nations and causes entire nations to be controlled by it.
Well, I mean, that's what if you were capital, you we're controlled by capitalism, The economic system your country chooses to pursue does in fact influence that nation. Like that's how that works.
You know, it's funny. You look at this guy and this guy, we were talking last week about people that will argue against, you know, let's say Ocasio-Cortez's tax ideas, right? She has an idea for a new Green Deal, which I really haven't looked at as well as I probably should. But I am fond of the idea of a 70% tax rate on very wealthy people. I am very fond of that tax rate. That to me feels like a step in the right direction for this country. And so I am for that. And so I don't know what she wants to do with that money, but I definitely feel like when I hear that, I'm like, oh, that sounds like a good thing. So I'm for it. I'm sure there's gonna be a lot of people that'll be for something like that. But this guy, he's screaming and yelling, and you know for sure, there's no way he's filming this out of the back of his fucking 1986 Ford Escort. Like, there's no way that this guy is making over $10 million a year. This guy isn't crushing it.
Right.
I can't imagine this guy being against it if he really knew what it was. I just feel like they're all so stupid that they just hear this line like socialism is bad.
I think that they conflate socialism with communist Russia.
Yeah.
Like they're just real confused.
They don't differentiate.
They don't know how it works. They grew up in a time when the USSR was still there and like people stood in bread lines and like we had this really aggressive narrative about how bad it was to live there. I think a lot of that was true too.
Yeah.
And I think that they're worried that like, oh my God, what if we go down this path?
Yeah. Because they think.
Where like you can't do things. I remember being in school. I don't know how it was for you, but I remember being in school and being told that like in the USSR, this is before the fall, right? That like children were told what their job was going to be. And like we had a whole exercise where like we stood up, like everybody got in front of the class and the teacher had like a random stack of like, cards.
Yes. No cards.
And like randomized them and like called us up. It was like, okay, you're a mechanic and handed us the card. And like, you're a baker and you're a, whatever.
Oh shit.
And then we sat down and like, he was like trying to explain. And I believe that, and now that's not true, right? We know that that's not ever been there. But like, that's how it was sold to me as a 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, something along those lines. I was very young at the time. And I remember getting a card and being like, I don't want to be a biscuit salesman or like whatever garbage job.
I don't want to do this.
They were also shit jobs.
Yeah.
But I thought that that's how that worked.
Yeah.
Because I was stupid and I was sold an idea
about
how it works. Yeah.
Who was told something by an authority figure.
Right.
You weren't stupid.
I think that those ideas permeate later. They sink deep into our idea about how the world worked.
Yeah.
And because that wasn't true doesn't mean that that's not what people think. In the back of their mind, there's an idea like, oh, I don't want that world.
Yeah.
Like, well, you're not, one of the U.S. is never going to be the USSR.
Yeah. And the other thing too is that, even though it was exaggerated, from what I have read, it didn't sound like it was fucking baller.
Oh, no.
It didn't sound like it was amazing.
Right.
And so I'm right there with you. I wouldn't want that here either.
Right.
I'm not interested in that here either. I'm not interested in everybody, let's all chip your money into this big pot. And then we all take, what is the Marx thing where he's like, take ability from each according to his ability and to each according to his need.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's something I would like, but I definitely think, a $10 million is plenty of a stipend to live on.
You'll be just fine,
I think
you'll
be okay.
It is real hard to get like real worked up. Like, well, what if I'm not super duper rich? And like, so you're just like regular, incredibly wealthy.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. Like your tears don't work for me.
They don't. I think that they want to make sure that they don't have the, because what does that do for the rest of us? It raises all the rest of the boats. Suddenly there's less of a tax burden on us and there's, more and better infrastructure in the United States. There's a lot of things that happen with that tax cut. Yeah. There's a lot of things that can happen.
Now, but let's go on. He says, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing. That tells me that there is clothing that's improper for a Christian woman. If your clothing is a frame for your face from which the glory of God is to shine, it's proper. If it draws attention to your face. If your clothing draws attention to your body, to outline it, to make it noticed, then it's sensual.
Oh my God.
It's sensual.
Sensual.
All right, this story comes from Right Wing Watch. Rick Wiles is doubling down. Tom Brady's sleeping with the equivalent of a serial killer.
Serial murderer, buddy.
God damn, does Rick Wiles want to fuck Tom Brady's wife?
I will say this. I'm a fucking serial murderer. Yeah. I mean, whenever serial comes into my house, I murder the fuck out of it.
May
tell you something.
Captain Crunch has died many a death in my home.
We were so busy for the past several, maybe even past 2 weeks. We hadn't had a chance to go shopping. And we Instacart once in a while. And Instacart, I don't know if they have it in the burbs, but they have it in Chicago. And it's basically like you pick a bunch of shit out at your favorite store. So let's say Target. Let's just say Target, but it can be any store. Mariano's is the one we normally go to in Chicago. So it's Mariano's. But you can do Whole Foods, whatever. It doesn't matter. And so you pick out all the stuff you want and then they go to the store and they buy it.
Okay.
And so it's listed on there. And then while they go there, the people will text you 700 times because they don't find what you're what's on the website.
Oh my God. It's like sending me to the grocery store.
It's more annoying than sending you to the grocery store.
That's impossible.
No, it is. It is. It is. Maybe not. Okay.
Benefit of the doubt.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt.
I'm very annoying at a grocery store. Okay.
You're just very annoying in general, so I figure it probably
Imagine me at a grocery store.
I know the lights and you're rubbing your eyes the whole time. You need to get put down.
And, you know, and then plus, like, I sit in that cart and nobody will push me.
Nobody can push
My legs get stuck in that thing. I just like four people behind. Like, trying to push it. It, like, tips forward. You're just walking around with it waddled up to your legs.
You got a shopping cart underwear on.
Stroll up to the service like, I broke this.
And then they get on the mic and the guy's like, Tom's stuck in the car. Crisco aisle customer service, please. Oh my gosh. But anyway, so Instacart, they did this thing where they fucking send you a million messages like, can't find this. Well, I was busy. I was at the gym at the time. And so I get out and I see all these texts from the fucking Instacart person. And then they're like, I really need you to approve these before I leave. And then by the time I got to my phone, they had already left. They're like, okay, because I need to deliver it at a certain time. Right. We had ordered milk.
Okay.
I had ordered a half gallon of milk.
They couldn't find milk?
Well,
their job is to shop for things.
It's a specific brand of milk. And so instead of buying me another brand of milk that happens to be 2%, they bought me the exact same milk, but it was 20-ounce size. But the good thing is that they bought his and hers milk. So they bought two 20-ouncers instead of the gallon of milk.
I wish that they bought you like six of those to make up a gallon.
Oh.
Be like, I got you a gallon. It's just divided.
It's just divided.
I bought you a divided gallon.
And then when they leave, I'm going to throw them at their car.
I want to wait for these to spoil.
But I
order from you again and pour it on your head.
That's the thing, though. It's kind of good that they brought that because I don't have a lot of milk in the house. Because when I do, and cereal's in the house, I will fill up the bathtub with cereal, and I will get a straw and eat the entire thing.
I can't remember the last bowl of cereal.
Really?
Yeah, it's been. I don't know. I don't know the last. Like I. Don't remember though. Like it's not something I eat.
I hadn't had it for years because I know that I eat the whole thing when I get
it. It's just not a moderation food.
Yeah. Same thing with ice cream. There's a couple things I just can't keep
with
in
ice
the house,
cream.
Right?
I just can't have
it. I can't keep it in the house because I will just eat the whole thing. Like ice cream especially because ice cream doesn't do anything to your body. Like there's no filling mechanism. There's no fiber in there. Yeah.
At no point in eating ice cream is my body like, couldn't eat another bite. My body's like, I'll chew on the carton, motherfucker.
Right? You lick the carpet. There's a droplet on the carpet. You're like sucking, like trying to get it off the carpet.
Serious question. Yeah. Like, can you feel full eating ice cream?
I think you might be able to, but it would have to be an obscene amount of ice cream.
I think it would be 100 gallons of ice cream. Like, I think it would just, I would have.
Somebody comes in with a 55 gallon drum and a partially filled 55 gallon drum. And then they scoop across
tiny sample spoons from Baskin Robbins.
But I can just eat cereal. Like, and so as a joke, my wife bought me a couple boxes for Christmas. They're still in my house, but my wife bought me some boxes as a joke. And so as soon as the milk comes in the house, I'm just like, I'm like one of those fucking beavers from the old timey cartoons that just like eats the tree in three bites. I'm just like, and it's gone. Like,
what's your cereal of choice? What do you eat?
There's two cereals that I really like: Grape Nuts and Crispix. Those are my two favorites.
I think I had Grape Nuts. I broke a tooth on Grape Nuts. Like about a long time ago.
That's not a selling point, though.
A long time. Well, I think, don't you microwave yours? I think we talked about
this. I have, but I don't have to. No, I'll eat it.
I like it cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I like it cold.
I do too, especially if my wife's talking to me, because then I can't hear her. I can't hear anything. And you can't hear anything for the next 40 minutes. Like your sound, like the, yeah, the hairs, you shave off all the hairs in your ear that collect the sound, and they have to regrow. That's what happens when you eat grape nuts. You should have to you should have to wear those like airline muffs that they wear outside that those guys with the wavy arms wave the planes in with. You should have to wear those.
It is a bulldozer for your brain. It is.
Exactly.
It's so fun. It's like a car accident constantly happening.
You're like at a Kiss concert. You're like, oh my God. Anyway, so this is him doubling down on what we talked about
two shows ago.
And it was where he was talking about, Tom Brady's wife is a witch. So
what I'm saying as a pastor is that there is a spiritual dimension to this, that because whoever you have sexual relations with, you're having a communion, your two bodies are coming together. And that's
not all the time.
Not all the time. Not very often together.
You really got to. I almost feel like you need like either a coach or a disinterested third party outside to sort of make sure, like a conductor. Like there needs to be a person who's
like running that factory. Yeah,
exactly. Like he needs to be like, but for both you and her to try to get, or him and him. Hey, I'm not, whatever.
Her and her. Whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Right. Just trying to get it so they come together.
No, are you kidding? That's a tradesy situation.
Yeah. That's why God prohibits fornication and adultery, and sex is only for inside marriage.
Sex is only for inside marriage?
Not outside marriage. Whatever.
Inside.
Oh, for doing inside of a marriage.
I see. Oh, yeah. I was like, I thought maybe like I only had an inside marriage. So whenever I was inside, I was married. But when I left, if I went outside, I was
like
not
an inside
married.
Cat. Yeah. Like you're just like,
or inside outside voice. You know?
Reason for it is because two people are coming together physically. They not only come together physically, but they come together spiritually.
Yes.
All right.
That adds so much more pressure. It really does. It's hard enough to come together physically. Are you kidding me? You got to manage that piece. Like, okay, I'm close. You're close. Is your fucking ghost close now? We got to like,
it's another whole
four of us here.
It's like landing a plane.
Jesus Christ. Fucking Patrick Swayze's got to get behind me while I make this pottery and make sure I fucking pop when you pop. You kidding me?
And what is it? What is it that comes out with the ghosts? Like, like we know how to clean up the regular real world stuff, but how do you clean up the spiritual stuff?
Ectoplasmic cold water? I don't know. Like, it's all ectoplasm.
Honey, you got ectoplasm on my glasses.
I gave her a Slimer, I'll tell you that much.
That's because she had all those hot dogs in her mouth.
Oh my God, I'd love to see that hot dog gif with Slimer. You know, like that girl on the internet.
Oh, the girl on the internet
with a hot dog. Yeah,
and then they show Slimer and he's eating all the hot dogs. Oh, that'd be great.
And so that's why I said this is a really serious problem, because Tom Brady, he's married to a woman who is practicing witchcraft. And I pointed out that God equates witchcraft, sorcery, with murder. Yeah. With lying, adultery.
Lying? I feel like lying and murder don't live in the same category, right? Like, I feel like if you have a bucket of things.
I agree.
And you're like,
hard agree.
Lying and murder. Hey, did you eat the last box of fucking Do-si-dos? No. No, I killed your sister. You're just kidding.
Because it mixed up. It's like the same. It's like, I'll tell you what, you can avoid a murder by lying, by being like, do I look fat in this? Could you imagine? It's like that gif where they have the two buttons and it's like lying and murder. And the top just says, do I look fat in this? And someone's trying to decide.
Hey, it's all the same.
No, you don't. I guess I'll just spend the rest of eternity at Lake of Fire no matter what happens. Yeah.
You know what I love right now, too, is that like Rick Wiles is explaining this to us like it all makes sense. Like, and all I did was point out these very obvious facts about how the world works, and people are teasing me about it. And it's like, yeah, man, because like Your worldview is a comical farce to people who can do math.
Right. Your worldview thinks that there's some lady who's like underneath a building with striped socks. Like, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me?
I'll tell you what. The script for The Wizard of Oz equates witchcraft with monkeys that have wings. Yeah. So, I mean, do you want monkeys? You want winged monkeys? Because this is how you get winged monkeys.
That's what Tom Brady's next team needs to be. He needs to get traded from the Patriots to the winged monkeys.
Like, I will buy this argument if, like, Tom Brady is on an episode of Cribs and he just, like, shows off his winged monkey collection.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, okay, yeah, you know what? You know what? You had a point, yeah. Rick Wiles. You got me on this one.
Yeah. As you work your way through his yellow brick road house.
Yes.
Yeah, then you see. Yeah, I agree.
What is this made of candy?
Where you go into his house and he's just got like little kids being bled upside down on pentagrams all around the house. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Right.
Maybe I'll agree with you. But if his wife once in a while, who's kind of like maybe a little soft herself, is just like, I'm a witch. I'm a real witch. You're like, okay, yeah, you're a fucking real witch.
You see, I'm on Instagram and we post these pictures of John Denver albums and a rock we found in a quarry once.
It's like a whole community.
It's like a whole beautiful community.
This is our world, man. Jesus.
I mean, Revelation tells us, right?
What does it tell us that we should believe there, Rick? Go ahead and bust it out. Let's make sure to cite the appropriate passage.
Oh, I can't wait, because it's going to be like, and it tells us that there's like locusts and armor.
Yeah, let it tell me one thing that doesn't sound insane.
Okay, here we go.
21.
Verse 8.
Verse 8.
Oh, thank you for the verse 8 there. I didn't know.
Glad he's not prepared for his own show.
Is it like one of those mini post-it notes that you could put underneath something when you flip?
With the arrow on it?
Or doesn't every Bible come with its own like little bookmark anyway?
I was going to say there's like special little like pay attention to me stickers for your Bible you can buy. You'd think he'd have that or know his Bible better or have just prepped this ahead of time.
They're just like little crosses that you put in.
Verse 8, Revelation 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire.
Again, liars get it rough in Revelation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's liars, but then there's like cowardly? Like, why are you attacking somebody just because, I mean, like, what were they supposed to do?
Yeah, right. Well, I feel like if Revelation's coming true, like, I'm pretty fucking cowardly. Like, the bugs have swords and shit. I don't like bugs that have stingers.
I'm staying in the house. Could you imagine you go to the carnival during Revelation and all those little locusts with bees are around the garbage can or whatever? The little locusts with armors around the garbage can?
No.
Gosh, they're hard enough to kill as it is.
Jesus Christ, they're locusts.
Yeah,
they're like.
And all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
You throw liars in a lake full of burning sulfur?
You swim over, you're like, hey, what are you in for? Like, I killed like
all
40 people. What about you? Like, I was fucking around. What about you? Like, I said that I liked the beef burgundy at this dinner party, but it wasn't that good and it hurts all the time. I was just trying to be nice.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, there's one guy in there. He's just like, you know, I thought the U.S. justice system had harsh penalties, but this is a little extra.
Brendan Dassey's I got fucked again. Are you kidding me?
Brendan can't even go to the commissary in the lake of fire.
Look at her like, I should have fucked a witch. If I got to be here.
So sorcerers are witches.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
witches.
My position is, all right, would you sleep and have sexual relations with a murderer?
Depends on the murderer, I guess.
Murder.
Yeah. I mean,
under what circumstances? Yeah. Like, I will say that there are circumstances where I'd be like, yeah, high five. Boom. Yeah. Let's do this thing.
Yeah. I'd fuck Hitler.
I'm just saying everybody should get one what I'm saying. Right, everybody should get one.
Yeah. You should, I think there should be like a special tattoo if you have sex with a murderer. Like, you should be able to like denote that somewhere on your body. like one of the tiers.
Yeah, but like
but
a
it's
dick.
Like a squirty one. You know?
Would you crawl into bed with your spouse who whispers in your ear, "I am a serial murderer"?
That is some weird bedroom talk.
Yeah, but might be the safe word.
Right. So. Like, all right, well,
yeah,
we're playing games. Yeah. All right, well, this is like advanced cops and robbers. Like, oh, you want me to get out the handcuffs? Okay. Like, okay, I don't need to know the details of your offenses.
I mean, do I have to keep you in your own room for 23 hours a day? Like, how does this work?
How fast would you get out of bed?
Well, yeah.
As soon as I was done.
Yeah.
As fast as a gazelle. You'd be out of that bed right away.
Right. How fast does a gazelle get out of bed?
I don't mean to be picky, but I don't think gazelles are known for getting out of bed. I mean, I don't want to throw a wrench here. There's a guy like Attenborough's like talking. There's a bed out in the on the savannah, and he's like, "And here we see the gazelle as it gets out of bed." Kind of puts one leg out like, "Ooh!" Does that stretch? Reaches for its copy, like, no, and then boom, it's gone.
The gazelle in its natural bedtime habitat. Well, uh-oh, he didn't set the alarm.
Well, in Tom Brady's case, you could get out of bed as fast as a Giselle, because that's the name of his wife.
All right, so when your spouse whispers, "I'm a witch," you better run just as fast.
That you're... Okay. Genuinely a stupid human being. Like, I'm not even playing. Like, no, genuinely.
Genuinely.
That is a under-intellectualized human being. I was in a meeting the other day, by the way, where somebody uttered this phrase. And I'm not even kidding. It was my favorite thing. I actually interrupted the meeting to tell him that's my favorite new thing he said. I think that we are underdeveloped on consensus.
Underdeveloped?
I think we are underdeveloped on consensus. And I stopped. I was like, that is my new favorite way to say we don't agree. I love that. I am going to, every time I have a fight with somebody, be like, I think we have an underdeveloped consensus. What the fuck?
You should get into debates just so you could use that.
Oh my God.
We need to do like a YouTube debate so you could just use that.
Underdeveloped consensus.
Patty, don't you realize what will happen to you if you refuse to receive Christ?
Don't you think I know that?
Then you've got to do it now.
All right, this is from NBC News. Southern Baptist Convention. More than 200 ministers, deacons, and others have been found guilty of sex abuse, according to a report. It's like 380. Let's scroll up for just 1 second.
Yeah, it is. It's more than two. When they say more than 200, total
is 380. This is why I laughed when I read this. It's like more than 200. And then the sub headline is, a total of about 380. And I thought, like, yeah, it's almost 100% more.
Well, couldn't you just be like, yeah, more than 10?
Why don't we just use the number? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that makes me crazy. A total of about. Is it a total or is it an about? Just tell me.
Yeah.
If it's 382, that headline still works by just writing 382.
Yeah. Or you could just say 380. And then if it's 382, you can still say in the article below, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay.
What the fuck?
380 is a lot more than 200.
Yeah. It's almost 100% more.
I will take $380 over $200.
It's so funny.
Any day of the week. I will take 200 rapes over 380 rapes any day of the week. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, like I grabbed this story just to point out, like we've been talking a lot about Catholic sexuality.
We won't stop doing that either.
Yeah, well, until they stop fucking kids or maybe come up with a policy called we're calling the cops and now you go to hell.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
Because I do think it's interesting that we just joked around about Rick Wiles, you know, oh, we're going to send people who play at magic and lie. Those guys burn in a lake of sulfur. But you have noticed kid fucking isn't listed.
Yeah, they didn't bother to write that in Revelation.
Right? Yeah. And it's funny because you can't even fall back on the like, well, the corrupt and the immoral. Like that would fall under corrupt and immoral. Really? Because then lying doesn't?
Yeah.
Murdering doesn't?
Right.
You don't throw out a category with specifics and then say, well, then other specifics I decide on later live in the specifics.
And adultery is just lying. Adultery is lying.
Yeah, it's super
not,
lying.
It's just lying. That's it. It's not anything other than lying. There's a great George Carlin skit where he takes all the Ten Commandments and he reduces it down to like two.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, yeah, don't lie.
and don't take
kill
my stuff.
People. Yeah, you know what I mean? Right. Like, it's like, because like there's a lot of stuff that's like, you know, you're lying. Yeah, there's three. I think it's don't steal, don't lie, and don't
even
kill
like
people.
Killing people is like you took my life.
Yeah, right.
You,
yeah, I guess it's a steal.
Don't
right?
yeah, don't take my stuff.
Don't take. And don't lie. About it. Yeah. And they really just boil down to that. But it's right. like, we've got to be really specific that you can't be envious of some other person. You know, you're like, why is that on there? Why is you can't envy somebody else's shit, but you can't. And then we create an entire society built on envy, right? And then we have that as a sin.
Imagine just like minor interactions you have where if you really weren't allowed any envy at all. Like if I was like, Cecil, I would love to show you my vacation pictures. And you were like, I can't care about that. I can't look at that and be like, that's a beautiful place. I wish I got to, you know, I'd love to see that sometime. Oh, you'd love to see that? Huh? You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
Envy, like mild envy is awe and appreciation. Like they're built into that.
Sure.
Like
you can't
separate.
Yeah.
Them. Like, I got this beautiful new home. I'd love to show it to you. If I saw it, I might like it.
I would
too
like
much.
It. And I would want something for
and
myself
would,
like that.
Right. And I would think to myself, oh man, this entranceway is beautiful.
God,
we could do this at
that.
Home. No, God damn it, envy. Argh!
Yeah.
What is like you just wouldn't care about what other people did.
Sure.
It's a stupid fucking thing to do.
Yeah.
But
in this case, I want to jump back here real quick. we're talking about a bunch of pastors. It says the Houston Chronicle wound up printing an expansive investigation that had 220 pastors, ministers, and deacons and volunteers and Sunday school teachers who were found guilty of sexually abusing churchgoers over 20 years. And more than 250 have been charged, and roughly 380 leaders and volunteers have faced allegations of sexual misconduct. So it's not, they haven't been convicted, right. but they've faced allegations of those things. And they went out like, so, and this one priest is like, I'm glad we live in a country. And I think he's like, the saddest thing is that we didn't do it ourselves. This pastor, he's a pastor. And he says, that's why you need a free press in America. He's happy that they did it.
Yeah.
Like he went out of his way to say, I'm actually happy that they went out of their way to make this report, to put all this stuff out there, to put all these people in a database, you know, a QuickBooks style database all diddlers. You know what I mean? They went out of their way to do that.
Right.
And you know, you look at the difference between the Baptist here, at least this one Baptist, right? So like, I want to be very clear. They're focusing the article on this one guy, right? And so we're not hearing, you know, a bunch of voices and whether or not they're all for this. So I don't know that. And I can't speak for that, but I can speak for this one guy and say, wow, I wish more religious people were like this guy,
right.
because this guy has a view of this that is, I want to protect the public from bad people, period. I don't care if they're in my brotherhood.
Yeah.
Whereas the priests in the Catholic Church have been sweeping this under the rug. They don't have a database. We read the database online for the Catholics.
Oh, yeah.
There's this huge, giant, extensive database. That's certainly not provided by the Catholic Church.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they don't provide
it's
that
not
as
on
a
their
service.
Website.
And the same thing here. They don't provide this as a service. This was done by somebody else. But he's saying, it's a good thing that it was done. He wishes that they'd have done it on their own.
Yeah, the only time you don't want sunshine in your house is when you're afraid of it,
right?
When you're
right.
afraid of what we'll expose.
Exactly.
And like these, at least like, yeah, I'm right there with you. He's like, all right. Yeah, we should harbor these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And any organization that seems to have this like protectionism around their leaders is like, who wants leaders that fuck kids? Who's like, you know what? Well, we don't want to ruin their reputation. Well, I mean, like, why don't we investigate it? And if it's true, if it's not true, it won't ruin them, right? If it's not true, it won't ruin them. And if it's true, you want them ruined because you want to pick a new leader. Wouldn't everybody just want a new leader? Like, it would be like, well, what if I don't have somebody to be in charge of me? What would I do then?
Can you think of any secular version of this where they prop up a person who's like a shitty person?
Presidency.
You're right. let's go to atheist then. Let's go to humanist and atheist.
No,
I can't think because every time that somebody's come out as a leader in one of these communities, I've seen they've been ostracized.
Right,
they've been taken out and they're no longer part of the community. As much as I can remember, and I welcome anybody to send me a message and say, no, this happened here, and this person is this, and you know, you talk about David Silverman, like he was immediately removed the moment that stuff came out. It means he was immediately removed by their board. The Lawrence Krauss. He was on a panel with a couple of really famous atheists, and he got removed from that panel.
Yeah.
So I've seen it happen a couple times. I'm willing to hear any other times that it's happened that they have ignored it or swept it under the rug, but I can't remember any off the top of my head.
Yeah, I think what certainly does not happen is that like they don't get like reassigned to a panel somewhere else, like to reoffend. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You're on a panel in a different
spot. You're not
spot.
On this panel. We're going to move you to another panel.
Yeah, we're going
to
put you. Yeah. The problem is that they can't do any of this shit. The reason why they're getting caught nowadays is because they can't do this shit with the internet. You know what I mean? Like if somebody gets caught diddling kids somewhere, that stuff's a lot easier to find out now than it was 30 or 40 years ago.
It's a lot easier to tell everybody.
There's a
communication channel to the everybody.
Yeah, and there's probably many support groups all around the world that talk about this stuff. And I'll tell you what, if I was in one of the support groups, let's say I was in a support group in the Chicago area, let's say I was raped by a priest and I was in a support group in the Chicago area and somebody posted in that group from so-and-so place and said, I was sexually abused by this priest and he's moving to Chicago. I sure as shit would let everybody know that I know that's in the church, that person is there. And you know what I mean? Like, so that's kind of communication. It just freely can happen more often. So that's why, I think it just facilitates that sort of thing.
Right.
So these things I think are going to be a lot more common in the future. There's just going to be more people and there's going to be more ways to track it. There's not going to be an easy place to hide anymore.
Well, this is that sunshine.
Yeah.
Lord, we just ask to be covered with the blood of Jesus. Open hearts, Lord. Open hearts.
A story comes from The Guardian. George Pell's lawyer says child abuse was plain vanilla sex as Cardinal heads to jail. I read this article in fucking stunned disbelief.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Not that it happened so much that like the attorney for Cardinal Pell is so fucking tone deaf to the fucking world that's going on around him right now. So Pell is convicted now and is headed to jail for having sex with two 13-year-old boys. I don't want to say having sex. He fucking raped.
He raped his two kids.
I want to change that language. He raped two 13-year-old boys, right? And the attorney during there having this like, hey, maybe you should give me a lighter sentence, like that portion of the program.
Because
right?
he's already been convicted of this stuff, yeah.
So it's now like the considerations around sentencing portion of the trial, right? And the lawyer is like, all right, look, here's the thing. It was plain vanilla sex. As if to indicate that like, had the sex been a kinkier rape?
Yeah.
How else can you read that?
No, I don't know. I don't know, Tom. I don't know.
Like if you had fur-lined handcuffs when you were raping a kid? Well, I like
if you made one of the kids change into a sexier outfit.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I mean, like I did a little cosplay first, but I played priest. Yeah. No, damn it. Okay, you got me, Judge. That was a trick question.
See, I was doing this exhibitionist thing where I don't wear underwear underneath my giant cassock robes.
Like it's a fucking rape there. You cannot have a plain vanilla rape.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing. It's what is the craziest thing about that statement? Is the fact that someone went out of their way, the priesthood went out of their way to find somebody who is as blasé about sexual assault as they are.
That's what I mean. It's
right? Like it's just a mirror of how they treat this stuff.
It's unbelievable. Like, and then you read further into the details of what happened. And I'm sorry, but like, you can't even describe the events that occurred as plain vanilla in any way.
I know.
Like, he grabs a 13-year-old boy and mouth fucks this 13-year-old boy, grabs his hair.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And forces him to perform oral sex.
Yeah.
In what world? It's like, well, it's just like a Wednesday night quickie where you grab your wife's hair and you force her to her fucking knees and you mouth fuck her. Like you do in just a regular, hey, honey, I love you. I'm just going to grab you by the hair and mouth fuck.
It's unreal. I want to read part of this too, because after this sexual assault occurs, right? After he rapes these two boys, I'm babying this up for no reason. After he rapes these two boys, later on, as they're passing in the hall, he reaches out and grabs one of these boys by the cock and squeezes very hard and keeps walking. And the guy explains it. He says he also tried to suggest that an incident in which Pell grabbed one of the boys by the genitals and attacked that lasted seconds was fleeting and not worthy of a jail sentence. There's no 5-second rule on grabbing somebody's dick. I don't care how much you want to put it in your mouth.
I just want to know, like what genital assault on a 13-year-old is fleeting enough that you're like, well, that's not a jail sentence assault on a 13-year-old. Yes, it's always jail time.
Yeah.
There's no, like, it was a playful genital sexual assault on a child.
Yeah.
I don't know why everyone's all worked up about this.
Yeah.
How fucking obtuse do you have to be?
Yeah.
That it's, and then, like, he makes a comment like, look, if the kids weren't even all that upset about it, had they been that upset, they would have gone home.
Yeah.
And they would have seemed upset. And it's like, that's not what we know about sexual assault victims.
Yeah, right.
That, like, every, and I'm just, like a part of me wonders is like, are you working for the prosecution?
Right. It's almost like he's punking Pell.
Yeah.
By being obtuse.
I was kind of like, well, what about if we put forward your arguments? Oh my God, this is going to be great. Hold on. Tell me again. It was fine when you did the mouth rape of the child. Oh my God. Okay. Let me try that to the judge. Hey judge, here's what he says. All right. He said it was cool because it was like a vanilla rape. No? No. All right. Hold on. Let me see what he says. Oh no. He says it was cool because when he assaulted him, it didn't last that long.
It was fleeting contact. Yeah.
No? Still going to go to jail. Okay. Hold on. One more try. Third time's the charm, judge. Hold on. Really? You want me to say that out loud? Okay. He says the rape doesn't count because the kid didn't seem that upset about it. Okay. Life in prison. Yeah. Awesome. Yes. My job is the best job.
One of these people, there was victims that came to the hearing.
Oh, this is great.
Dozens of abuse survivors and advocates, as well as supporters of Pell. The survivors were in badges emblazoned with quotes about child abuse from Pell over the years. Here's the two quotes that are quoted in the article. Quote, it was not of much interest to me, end quote. And quote, it's all gossip until it's proven in court, end quote. Saddest part of this article, though, is that one of the people committed suicide.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a drug overdose, but maybe brought on by something like this. I don't know. I'm not going to know that for sure. But overdose when he was 30. But his father actually testified as part of the, you know, one of the victims.
Yeah.
As one of the victims. Right. And that they were arguing against that, too. They were saying that he's not one of the victims. Like, no, he is directly a victim of this.
Yeah, I think, like, if your child dies and like their life is all fucked up and like they were raped by somebody in a position of trust and authority. Like, yeah, I'm like, yeah, 100%, 100%. Like that man lost his child.
Yeah.
And I think it is reasonable to say that like, it's likely that this had something to do with it.
Sure.
You can't know for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but I'd be sure interested in hearing from that guy.
Yeah.
Because somebody's got to speak for him, too. Like, just because this guy died doesn't mean he doesn't deserve representation as a victim.
Right.
And, like, absolutely his dad has a right to speak for him. Because who else is going to speak for him?
Yeah.
The priest is literally standing there saying, like, look, it wasn't that bad when I raped him. I'd like to go to jail for less time. That's his argument. That's his argument is it wasn't that bad.
You know, this is also one of the, it could be, I think, the biggest person who's ever faced charges for this. I think they were saying he's like the treasurer of the Vatican or something for a while.
Yeah.
So like a big deal, like this cardinal is a big deal. And you know, it's
what's after Cardinal Blue Jay? What is it? Is it, I don't know. I don't remember. Is it Great Horned Owl?
It's Big Bird.
Abortions for all. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some. Miniature American flags for others.
Yeah! All right, this story comes from the New York Times. Vatican secret rules for Catholic priests who have children. Spoiler alert, it's not leave the priesthood and take care of your kids.
Yeah.
That's not the rule.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And like, I read this and I thought the only rule should be, uh-oh. Anyway, I now have a responsibility that I need to take care of. And the church has ownership of some of that responsibility because it employed me.
Yeah.
And I was acting under the guises of that church.
Mm-hmm.
And so now guess what? We all have a responsibility.
Yeah.
And how are we going to, you know, manage through this?
Yeah. The hierarchy of problems when you come to this is, you know, you started at the top is if it was a rape, because there were some of these that were rapes. Right?
Absolutely.
So if it was a rape,
jail time.
We got to pay attention to that. That's something that, you know, like absolutely, you know, if they're not taking care of their responsibilities as an adult, you know, you had a kid, you've got to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, child support or however that works, leave the priesthood, become married, or, you know, even just, you know, child support after you get your own job outside. Yeah. The part that I'm the least interested in is this long part of the article where they're talking about celibacy. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, yeah. I give so little fucks that these guys don't fuck.
Well, it's like, there's nothing but evidence to suggest that almost none of these people are successful at celibacy, right? So like when you read the statistics around celibacy, almost none of them are 100% successful in their vows of celibacy across the term of their priesthood. At some point, many of them lapse in one way or another.
Yeah.
And nobody outside your weird clubhouse
cares. Nobody
That's the thing
cares.
That like, I feel like the world wants to be like, oh, it's my shame. Literally, everyone thinks you should be fucking.
Yeah.
It will make you less weird.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Everybody's like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, I had sex with a woman. So did I yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Like, that's the thing people do.
Yeah.
Why are you so weird?
After you're 14 or 15, nobody cares anymore.
I know.
Like, no, like literally nobody cares anymore. There is a part of your life as a young child until you, you know, and I probably until you're a little older than that, maybe 18, 19, 20, something like that. But at a certain point, if you come and be like, dude, I totally got laid last night, everybody's just like looking at you like, what the fuck are you talking? Who the fuck cares?
Why are we having a conversation about your personal life? That's weird.
Holy shit. Yeah. So yeah, I'm right. But the one thing that, again, we're talking about rapes again.
Yeah,
we're talking about rapes. And now you're talking about rapes of nuns and women that are outside the church. And these, they're producing children.
Yep.
And so they have a whole document in the church on how to deal with these kids.
Yeah.
And they call the kids, there's a name for it. And they call the kids, they say, you're actually called children of the ordained, said that they said they had a, they, he was shocked to find they have a term for it. Actually, Children of the Ordained is my Sister of Mercy cover band. So I call dibs on that. Dibs on Children of the Ordained. But isn't that crazy? They have a whole name for
it. I know. That's fucking, it's, well, they got to call him something.
Yeah,
and like,
right. Yeah.
Oopsie isn't a, you know.
Can't call the guy the Godfather. So it doesn't work that way.
Do you know what I wonder? I wonder how many priests father a child and then encourage it to be aborted.
That was,
you know, that it happened.
There should be a movie like that.
You 100% know. Yeah. Are you saying that because there is one?
I'm just saying it.
Oh, because you had a smile
it would be a
like
cool,
maybe I missed a
no,
cultural reference.
It would be cool. It would be cool. It reminds me of like, it reminds me of, I don't know. It just reminds me of
Dirty Dancing.
I was trying to think of another abortion movie, but that one's the first one that came to mind.
Snow Falling on Cedars?
Godsford Park. No, that's a different movie. That's not an abortion movie.
No.
What's that one with the guy with the Spider-Man in it who's it's an abortion movie. He's a apple orchard guy or something.
Yeah, it's not Snow Falling on Cedars. It's another one.
Orchard, something orchard. Angry Orchard Cider, I think.
Bloody Orchard.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, though. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that farm abortion movie.
Farm abortion.
No, I gotta look it up.
Cider House Rules.
Yeah. All right.
It is cider.
Yeah. I was thinking cedar cider. I kind of was like.
Angry Cider House Rules.
Hey, we were close.
Angry Cider. Just a red apple.
Isn't it funny how the church struggles to contend with issues that aren't hard to contend with?
I know, man.
Because their rules are so hard to work around that instead of being like, maybe this is a bad rule, instead they're like, maybe we deny the reality of what happened.
Maybe we just, well, they've been denying reality forever, so it's not hard.
It's so funny, though. They're just like, all right, this is a sticky wicket. And it's like, not really.
Yeah.
No, rapists go to jail. Otherwise, follow the kid, you got to pay for it.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, we're going to have a long list of other options. What?
At a job I was at, there was a CFO. The CFO... they sent out a letter that the CFO was let go. Like the CFO was basically let go. And they specifically said in the letter that the CFO was not let go because of financial impropriety is what they said. And I found out later, the reason why the CFO was let go is because he impregnated his secretary. And I love the fact, what I love about that story is the idea that he's in the office being like, you have to make sure that you put this in there so that people don't think. But he's like, oh, because he fucked his secretary and got her pregnant while he was married. You know what I mean? Like there's like, it's like a big awkward thing. And they didn't want to have like a Jerry Springer fight in the middle of the place. So just like, we're just going to let you go then, Bill. And that's the end of it.
Do you remember the very first title company that I worked for that was like insane and run by like criminals? And they burned the place down. Weird parties
stuff. Yeah.
So like,
they burned the place down like fucking Goodfellas. They really burned the place down.
They stole over $1.5 million.
Are they in jail?
Burned it down. No, none of them. Because there's an article about it in the Tribune. Like they didn't go to jail because all the records of their action burned up. They burned up their servers and shit are. Yeah. They're fine.
They're not doing title
anymore?
That's
not their business.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. But like the owner of
that.
Are
there Ponzi schemes?
I think so.
Yeah.
One of the owners of that company got kicked out of the state of Ohio for fraud.
The entire state?
He's not allowed to practice insurance in Ohio.
Oh,
he got kicked out of Ohio.
There's like a guy shows up at the border and they're like tapping a billy club on their head. You can't come back in here, buddy.
He no shit impregnated the secretary who was married.
Oh.
Moved her when he got kicked out of Ohio, moved her to Illinois, pregnant, where she worked for me. And he put her in my office so she could get a paycheck. And she sat and just was pregnant and filed her nails and was the owner's pregnant mistress wife, whatever. And like, I was like, if you remember,
that's,
I was like 24, 25.
What do you have on your business cards? It's a long
pregnant
title.
Mistress wife, pregnant like whatever.
And the card has like a big bump on it.
It's
got a baby bump.
And she would ask me like, what should I do? And I'm like, don't have a baby here.
What should we do?
And she would
What should I do here?
She didn't work. She would show up sometimes. And I never gave her one task to do. And like, never. She sat and like played on the internet and filed her nails and like,
she
was pregnant.
She was your podcast Tom.
And a few times she'd come to me and like want to like complain about her husband. And I'd be like, oh, we can't do that. I was like,
this is my favorite story.
I was like, absolutely not.
See that you're uncomfortable paying someone illegally to do work is my favorite.
Well, I don't think it's illegal.
You're right. Yeah. You could go to work and not get, it's not illegal. You're right. It's not illegal.
Like, what was I
it's highly
to, like,
unethical, but it's not illegal.
I
not unethical for you either. No, right. Because it's not your job.
I just want to be like, I can't fire you, but I can't ask you to do anything. Because if you just don't do it, you're still the pregnant boss mistress wife thing. Like,
right. You can't, there's no recourse. Right.
Right?
She could fucking drop a Cleveland steamer on a desk right now.
She didn't give a shit. So yeah. I was like, well, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, the only rule in my office is you can't have a baby in it. So if you start to not feel pregnant anymore, I need you to go to a
stopping
hospital.
Stopping it up with mortgage documents till it goes in. You're getting out of here.
I come in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil is a motherfucking liar. So you know I ain't worried. Bitch. Stupid bitch. You goddamn devil worshiper, you ain't got no excuse.
This story comes from Vox.com. An ex-cardinal has been defrocked for sex abuse. This has likely never happened before.
That was
interesting. Yeah, this is that guy in Australia, right? McCarrick,
yeah.
Yeah. He got fucking defrocked, which I think is great. Like, there is a point, and I wanted to talk about this because it's like, the part of the article and the part of the headline is like, this has likely never happened before. We've talked about this 100 times. Like, there's no reason that shouldn't happen every time.
Every single time. Yeah.
Right?
That's like in the rule book.
And they just got together and had a great big meeting. Oh, the Catholics just got together and had a great big meeting called, well, what do we do about sex abuse of children? Yeah. And they had to call a meeting for something that could be solved with an email. Right? And then the meeting, like, they were like, well, you know, it's good to like raise awareness amongst our, you know, fucking people and talk to them about it and get everybody to feel like empathy for the victims. And I'm thinking like, why do you have to teach your moral leadership how to feel empathetic toward victims of child sex abuse.
Seems like a weird workshop.
That's a real weird workshop. Okay, so you know who feels real bad?
Seems like it'd be a short workshop too.
Guys, so yeah, they don't.
Wouldn't be a lot on, there wouldn't be a lot on your whiteboard.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and brainstorm. What the fuck? What the fuck?
You don't need a complex diagram to figure this out. There's not a lot of Venn diagrams you need to draw.
And the defrock is great, but it's also like, that's step one.
Yeah.
And I think about this and it's like, well, like defrock basically means you're fired, right? Yeah, that's what it means.
It means you can't be a priest anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're fired. Maybe they'll find another home for you, like in administration or whatever. Like,
no, I think it's... You're defrocked means it's not excommunicated, because excommunicated means you're done with the church forever. You can't even be part of it. So you're right. I think it does mean you can probably like push a broom or something.
Yeah. Could they,
as long as that's not near any kids or something.
Could they hire you to be the secretary?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
In a non-priesty position?
I don't know the answer to that. I know excommunicated and defrocked are not the same thing.
Well, and I know excommunicated is like you are separated from God, right? Like theologically.
Oh, yeah. So there is a theological component too. So I don't know exactly where all these things intersect.
I think from what I read, I think defrocked is one thing, but you're not kicked out of the church, which means you can still repent. You still go to heaven. You can still have... Which, like, if you're religious, isn't that the big deal part? Like, if you're really, really super religious.
Yeah, if you really care about it, yeah.
So it's like, all right, look, you can't go to Disneyland on Thursday. But Saturday, you get to live at Disneyland for the rest of your life. Oh, what a terror, you know, what a punishment. It's like when I hear, like, it's like when you hear the Jesus story as a secular person, you're like, well, he died. Oh, no, not really.
Yeah, no.
Like, he died in the sense that, like, he knew this was going to be uncomfortable. He died like I get fucking dental surgery. Sure. Like, that's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. That's not going to be fun. Yeah.
But when I'm right done, it doesn't really have any long-lasting impact because I know that the benefit outweighs the discomfort.
I remember hearing a story. I was talking to somebody about the Jesus Chainsaw Massacre movie. That
The
repressed 10
Jesus Christ
10
Superstar?
Things I hate about Jesus or whatever it is.
What is it? Oh, the Passion.
The Passion of the Christ.
The Passion Fruit of the Christ.
Yeah, Passion Fruit of the Christ.
Delicious.
They open them right up and pull. And I'll tell you what, they squeeze that fucker. But they just beat Jesus to death in the movie or whatever, you know, and you get a chance to see it. And I guess people like fucking really enjoyed it. But the person I was talking to, it was funny because I actually talked to two priests about it and one of them loved it and one of them hated it.
Okay.
Which was interesting to see sort of, and they're in the same organization. So it was interesting because I was working for a religious organization at the time, but this guy, somebody else who I was talking about it, they were talking about how amazed and how much they loved it because it showed how much Jesus loved everybody and how he died for us. And I kept thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, yeah, I mean, he had a real bad day, but Jesus doesn't die. Like Jesus doesn't die in the end, like everybody else dies. It's like when the guy in Altered Carbon has to put on a new skin suit, he didn't really die. His little fucking microchip is still existent and he's now, his consciousness is still here. There's a difference between being obliterated and then, you know, coming
being
back.
Uncomfortable.
And then coming back.
Like really, really uncomfortable. Don't get me wrong.
No, yeah. I mean, you can be really super uncomfortable, but it's gonna stop.
And like the biggest thing to me that seems like, now I've never died, obviously, but like when I think about death, one of the things that is scariest to me would be a great comfort to know, like, well, yeah, but I have spoken to actual God who I am also somehow part of. So I got a real intimate knowledge of this. Yeah. I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, there's no worry.
Right. So like all of the fear component would be gone. You'd be like, okay, this is going to suck real, real bad. But all I have to do is deal with this horrible pain, which is a lot. But I am ultimately going to be just fucking fine. Yeah. And people die for other people all the time. Like I read a story seriously this morning about a woman who like got hit by a car. She pushed her kids. There's a road rage thing. Somebody's like ramming their car into her car full of kids. She pushed the stroller out of the way just in time. The guy hit her, smashes
her
against
the
car.
Shut the fuck up. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Yeah. And like she dies. And like, I think like people are, anyway, she died for someone else, right? It's genuinely fucking heroic. But nobody's walking around with a fucking visage of her. Yeah. We're not like lighting, because this shit happens a lot.
You don't have like a stroller on a chain that, that gets pushed out of the way once in a while, you know? Yeah.
Because like, I kind of feel like, all right, her sacrifice was bigger.
Yeah.
Right? Because she doesn't know that she's coming back. She's not part and parcel of the greatest creator of universe. Like, in that worldview.
Sure.
Big fucking deal. What they should do with these fucking priests isn't just defrock them. They should excommunicate them. If you really want to put the fear of God in
them. Absolutely. Yeah.
There should be
some teeth to the punishment.
Right.
You know what I mean? There should, because none of these guys have teeth anyway. So you should put some teeth in there so then they at least can chew something.
Sorry. You're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
And in our, there's only one thing we can do to make sure that happens here on earth.
Yeah.
And that's to excommunicate you. So, not a lot of things we're tossing you into the fire for.
Yeah.
Lying. Yes. Witchcraft, obviously. Clearly, that's on the list.
Fucking liars.
Yeah.
Fucking liars.
You know, trying to use an expired coupon.
Yeah.
Come on. You're going, you knew that expired, and you're trying to get your 20% at Bed Bath & Beyond.
So we will not be doing our patrons this time. We promise we'll do our patrons next time. It's been a couple of weeks, but it's because we are going on a short break and recording all this ahead of time. So we don't have time. We won't have the current patrons listed by the time that this episode airs. So we will wait. But there will be a big, long list of patrons when we come back. But remember, if you want to be a patron to this show, for as little as a dollar an episode, you can help make sure the show happens. And you can help make sure that we do live streams and that we employ an employee. So you can go to dissonancepod.com. There's a patron button there. You can go to patreon.com/dissonancepod. And you can donate on a per episode basis. We would love to, if you would become a patron, there's hundreds of hours, extra hours of tape that you can listen to too. All as soon as you become a patron. We got a message. And this message is from the Aralut. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Anyway, basically this person is saying, look, I think you guys are saying hijab wrong. And I don't think we are, but I'm going to play it and people can point out. I'm going to play it really quick.
Hijab.
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 I think I'm saying it right.
Maybe we're saying it right now because we just heard it.
Yeah, but I...
But we can't hear the subtle inflection
difference. I don't know what I'm saying that's different, but I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it. I know it's making you like freak the fuck out and I'm sure...
I'm sorry. Let me try. Burqa.
Yeah, that's close. It's close. It's funny because I work with a Hispanic lady and she has no accent. Literally, she's born here.
Yeah.
Right? But every time she says a word that is explicitly... Spanish in Spanish, she drops into the deepest accent when she says like havo, like it's like just like the way she says stuff. When she says, what else does she say that makes me laugh? There's a couple of things that she'll say.
See, so would you like some guacamole?
Yeah, that's exactly it. She'll be like guacamole, and I'll be like, and it always shakes me because I'm always just like, she'll just be talking and just be like guacamole, and I'll be like, what the fuck just happened over there?
It's all the Spanish language. It's like Romulan.
That's what it sounds like to me too. They all sound like that.
No, it's they all look alike. Not they all sound alike.
No, but she seriously drops into it and always that's throws amazing. Me for a loop. So we got a message from Keith. And Keith, we were talking about Skippy last time. Skippy was a name that we thought was something you should probably change. We'll be talking about an Australian version of Skippy a little later on this email segment. But this Keith says, maybe it's perspective, but Skippy sounds normal. I work with a 55-year-old man who wants to be called Dragon. And Dragon is spelled obscenely wrong here. And I know how to spell Dragon, guys. He says... He answers the phone, Dragon here. How can I help?
I would hang up. There's no way.
Would you fill out mortgage docs for a guy named Dragon?
There's no world where I think somebody named Dragon can help me.
I don't even think they can help themselves.
Right? Like what problem do I have where somebody named Dragon is going to make it better?
Like, you know, you don't have any friends when you have to make up your own nickname. You
That's exactly true. People like to call me Rip.
No, they don't.
No,
they don't. They don't
home.
Do that.
Go, you know what you are, home.
They don't do that, Francis.
You typed that.
All right. So I want to play this clip. This is from Andy, listener Andy. And this is both Tom and I grew up on this show. This is Adam West's Batman.
I want to conduct a campaign that deals with the issues. I'm convinced the American electorate is too mature to be taken in by cheap vaudeville trickery. After all, if our national leaders were elected on the basis of tricky slogans, brass bands, and pretty girls, our country would be in a terrible mess, wouldn't it?
Oh, Adam! You passed away.
Feel very sad right now hearing that. That's my hero.
Live your life like a candle in the wind.
We got a message from Brian, and Brian says, the prettiest state in the country is Hawaii. I bet you forgot it's a state. It's like, I'm sorry, I cannot name the prettiest flyover state. All flyover states I've been to were brown and dead.
Brown and dead.
Only 9 months out of the year.
I love it.
They bloom for 2 hours a year.
Oh, so funny.
Anyway.
We got a video that I'm going to post on this week's show notes. Evidently, and now I don't know if this is true, right? So like someone could have edited this video. It's very possible
that
someone heard our show, edited this video, because it's I watched this with my mouth agape that this was a real thing. Yeah. But they said, this is from Mark. And we also got this on Twitter. A couple of people sent it to us on Twitter and different places. They were like, take it easy on Skippy. Skippy is an Australian kangaroo. I guess they're all Australian. Kangaroo. A kangaroo.
He's a Namibian kangaroo.
He's a Yatutskian kangaroo. But anyway, he's a kangaroo, or was a kangaroo, because I don't think they lived that long. From the 60s and 70s. He kangaroo was. That's again, he's not a kangaroo recent, that's for sure. 60s or 70s. And it's an Australian TV show that was like, I guess, like Lassie, where he had like a kangaroo and a wallaby and like a...
I was thinking this was the
stinky
Australian
ass fucking koala.
Yeah, I watched this. It's funny because in the opening sequence, there's a kid holding a koala and I'm like, that kid is vomiting in his mouth right now, holding that fucking...
I didn't hold one. They smell
animal.
Bad though, right?
They smell awful. Yeah. Haley and I held one and it's like, all we wanted to do is put it back down. We paid for the privilege of like standing in a long line to hold it. And it's like, here's your fucking poop rat hanging onto it.
It smells.
It's like coming to Chicago so and they give you a sewer rat to hold on. You get off on the plane and they're like, instead of like Hawaii where they put the land, they just hand you a sewer rat in Chicago. And you're like, it's so big. It's like the size of a small dog.
I got to tell you, I was going to my car. I got a sewer rat story. I was going to my car and I'm walking out to my car and I'm brushing my car off after the crazy snow. We had snow but right before the snow, we had this crazy cold snap, right? Yeah. So super crazy cold snap. And I walk around the one side of my car to scrape it off. I'm scraping it and I turn on and I jump like, ah, there's a rat. I'm not kidding. It's as big as this keyboard. It was like a small house rat and it's laying on the ground all super dead with its arms all sticking up and its tail's about 7 feet long and it's just laying there like a fucking, like it looks like a dachshund. It's that big. And I jumped and then I looked and there was a bunch of other mice and rats just dead because it was so cold in Chicago. The sewer rats just gave up. They're just no, it's too cold for us sewer rats.
That is upsetting. Who is going to train the turtles? Like what?
There's got to be a splinter around to train them. Oh, God. That's great shit.
I did read something that it was so cold. The polar vortex was so severe and so cold that up to 95% of the invasive bug species may be dead.
It may be dead. Yeah, that's what I heard,
like,
too.
It might actually have been a good thing.
Yeah. Well, global warming rules. Cooling.
Right.
I messed up.
It's cold outside. No more global warming.
Cold. It's very cold. So we're going to wrap it up. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.